back to Cross the Border. We're continuing here in the book of Hosea. We're at chapter 4 and verse 9. And there shall be like people, like priests, and I will punish them for their ways and reward them for their doings. For they shall eat and not have enough. They shall commit whoredom and shall not increase, because they have left off to take heed unto Yahuwah. Whoredom and wine and new wine take away the heart. My people ask counsel at their stocks, and their staff declareth it unto them. For the spirit of whoredoms hath caused them to err, and they have gone a-whoring from under their God. They sacrifice upon the tops of the mountains, and burn incense upon the hills, under oaks and poplars and elms, because the shadow thereof is good. Therefore your daughters shall commit whoredom, and your spouses shall commit adultery. I will not punish your daughters when they commit whoredom, nor your spouses when they commit adultery, for themselves are separated with whores, and they sacrifice with harlots. Therefore the people that doth not understand shall fall. Though thou, Israel, play the harlot, yet let not Judah offend, and come not ye to Gilgal, neither go ye up to Beth Aven, nor swear, Yahuwah liveth. For Israel slideth back as a backsliding heifer. Now the Lord Yahuwah will feed them as a lamb in a large place. Ephraim is joined to idols. Let him alone. Their drink is sour. They have committed whoredom continually. Her rulers with shame do love. Give ye. The wind hath bound her up in her wings, and they shall be ashamed because of their sacrifices. Chapter 5 and verse 1. Hear ye this, O priests, and hearken, ye house of Israel, and give ye ear, O house of the king, for judgment is toward you, because you have been a snare on Mizpah, and a net spread upon Tabor. And the revolters are profound to make slaughter, though I have been a rebuker of them all. I know Ephraim, and Israel is not hid from me. For now, O Ephraim, thou committest whoredom, and Israel is defiled. They will not frame their doings to turn unto their God, for the spirit of whoredoms is in the midst of them, and they have not known the Lord. And the pride of Israel doth testify to his face. Therefore shall Israel and Ephraim fall in their iniquity. Judah also shall fall with them. And how does the church, the so-called church in America, you know, I guess they just don't read the word. You know, I've never heard them read the word in most of the churches that I went to. I mean, they read a little passage here and a little passage there, but they never get out the book and read it all. And I believe that that's what we should be doing. That's what the congregation should be doing. They should be studying the whole Word of God. Yes, it may take them years to get through it. The preacher doesn't need to go up there. He just needs to, one, he needs to be practicing righteousness himself. He needs to be totally committed, the man of God. He needs to be totally committed, living, breathing, moving, and having his being in Yahshua, the Messiah, sitting, as Paul said, in heavenly places in the Messiah. Yes, sitting in the kingdom of God. He needs to be across the border, having his place in that eternal kingdom before he can lead the people. If he isn't there, if your pastor isn't there, if he's just getting up on Sundays, and he's working up a little sermon by hopping and skipping and jumping through the scripture, but he's neglecting the weightier things, like, yes, the law of God, yes, righteousness, Yes, learning is law. Learning the examples. Because all of these examples, you know, a lot of the New Testament, they call themselves New Testament churches. What is that? To the exclusion of the Old Testament? Yes, we just like the New Testament. We just like certain parts of that. Well, the New Testament church, you know, that one that started back there way back when, you know, when Yahshua was left and went to sit at the right hand of the Father, and then the apostles and disciples went out and preached to the nations. Yeah, that one, you know, that early first century church, second century church, third century church. Yes, they had a few letters of the New Testament, but mostly they had the Old Testament. You know, they were searching the scriptures to see if these things were so. They weren't searching the letters of the apostles, because those weren't called the scripture yet. They weren't compiled as scripture for quite a while. So how can you have a New Testament church? What is that? You know, the ecclesia was around before the church. Yes, we even have a book called Ecclesiastes. Yes, that's to the congregation, to the ecclesia. Because, of course, that's a Greek word, ecclesia. We get that from the New Testament. But it was also used in the Septuagint, because they used Greek for 300 years before the Messiah appeared on the scene. And they called the congregation the ecclesia then, in Greek. And to learn more a little about the ecclesia from the beginning of time all the way to today, go watch that video on my website, crosstheborder.org. It's not very long. It's only 10 minutes of your life, and you will learn a tremendous amount. You may have to watch it several times to get it all in, maybe even more than several times, because I did condense a two-hour study down to 10 minutes. So, like I said, it's very fast pace, and you may have to listen to it more than several times to take it all in. But it's all there, a lot of these principles that I guess you could call that video my declaration of what I believe, you know, my declaration of faith. And there it is, because I could never call myself a New Testament Christian, because I love the whole Word of God. Old Testament, I heed the examples here. I apply them today. Our Heavenly Father, our Creator, hasn't changed the way that He deals with nations. They will not frame their doings to turn unto their God. Yes, America, that's like Israel. For the spirit of whoredoms is in the midst of them. Is not the spirit of whoredoms in the midst of America? Is it not the central attraction in America? Is it not the focus of America, of this nation, as it was Israel? Is not the focus of this nation whoredoms, idolatry, things that distract us from our Creator and His law? Yes, that's what it is. Anything to distract us from His truth. They have not known Yahuwah. They don't know God. That's right. They say that He doesn't exist. They say that their forefathers were apes and monkeys, and that everything sprang from a rock. They shall go with their flocks and with their herds to seek Yahuwah, but they shall not find Him. He hath withdrawn Himself from them. They have dealt treacherously against Yahuwah, for they have begotten strange children. Now shall a month devour them with their portions. They have begotten strange children. What does that mean, strange children? Well, I remember that the sons of Israel, they went out and they took strange daughters. That's right, they took wives of strange wives from the nations around them. They took the daughters of the nations around them to wife. They were strange. Why were they strange? Because they worshipped other gods. And God commanded them to divorce and put away those wives and their children and to send them out of Israel. Oh, that'd be an abomination today, wouldn't it? Because divorce, I mean, marriage is now raised up to such a high status that it's above everything else. If a man, you know, should never divorce under any circumstance, I say, baloney. I've read the whole Word of God. I see the counsel is different. If your wife will not follow the Lord, then maybe you should put her out. And yes, you know, I see a lot of men who kowtow. They give the reins of their marriage to their wife because of the threat of losing their children. It's a sad thing because the state is there with its guns to make sure that you give up your children if your wife wants to worship other gods, if she wants to, you know, follow idolatry. And the truth is a lot, most men bring it on themselves by their own adultery, by their own idolatry. But there's a lot of good men, and perhaps the situation straightens out a lot of men. But I'll tell you what, if you act in disobedience to the Heavenly Father because your wicked wife is using the gun of the state to threaten you, you're going to lose your children anyway. It's better to just be obedient to God and just perhaps lose the bodies of your children, but you'll gain their hearts and their minds. And that's more important, because what's more important is their eternal disposition. That's right. So don't put anything before that. And the only way you can secure that is by your own obedience to the Heavenly Father in whatever situation you're in. Even if you wake up and find yourself in a terrible position because of your own idolatry, and you come to yourself and say, this has come on me because I have left the Lord, or because I have practiced unrighteousness. And now my wife, who also practiced unrighteousness or wickedness with me, is using the guns of the state to take my children away. No, you don't give in. You obey the Heavenly Father, whatever it takes, whatever He calls you to do. Yes, you may lose the bodies of your children, but you can gain their hearts and their minds. And you can do that through prayer if that's all you can do. Because when all you can do is pray, you can rest in the assurance that it is in His hands. First, you do all that you can do. And the best way to act is to start living a life of obedience to the Heavenly Father because you love Him, because you fear the alternative, because, well, you fear punishment for your own sins. Fear is a good motivator. The fear of Yahuwah, the fear of the Lord, is the beginning of knowledge. Remember? My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So that's a good place to begin. Yes, I'm going to lose my children. I love them. And their eternal position is more important than anything. I don't want them to burn in hell forever. That's more important than where they're going to end up temporarily in this life. Let's get our priorities straight, people, because the world will use your children to coerce you into capitulating and forgetting your Creator. So we need His wisdom when those times of trial come upon our lives. And that's why we need to stay in His Word and know it intimately, both Old and New Testament. I know Ephraim and Israel is not hid from me. For now, O Ephraim, thou committest whoredoms, and Israel is defiled. They will not frame their doings to turn unto their God, for the spirit of whoredoms is in the midst of them, and they have not known Yahuwah. And the pride of Israel doth testify to his face. Therefore shall Israel and Ephraim fall in their iniquity. Judah also shall fall with them. Chapter 5, verse 6. They shall go with their flocks, with their herds, to seek Yahuwah, but they shall not find him. He hath withdrawn himself from them. And you know, that's what it's like. When the time comes, when the armies come in, when the enemy, when the sword of the Lord comes upon the land, as it did in Israel, so it will come in America. That's right, when the sword of the Lord, in the form of a heathen nation, comes in, and they're going to cry out, but he's not going to answer you. He's going to withdraw. Listen to what he says. They shall go with their flocks and their herds to seek the Lord, but they shall not find him. He hath withdrawn himself from them. Yeah, he's going to withdraw. You're going to ignore him so long, and when the time of your trial comes, when the sword of the Lord appears, it's his sword. He's going to protect his from it, or he's going to protect his through it, one way or the other. But he's going to withdraw from the wicked. He's going to withdraw from those who practice whoredom and idolatry, and they'll be left to it to fend for themselves. They have dealt treacherously, chapter 5, verse 7. They have dealt treacherously against the Lord, for they have begotten strange children, and now shall a month devour them with their portions. So they're going to be devoured in a short amount of time with the possessions. It's all going to end in a very short period of time because they have begotten strange children. Why are they strange children? Because they don't know God. They don't even know their founding. Question these stupid children that have been trained up in the public school system about the founding of this nation, and they know nothing about it. They're strange children. They're strangers to our Creator. Yes, it's wonderful to have children. I do love them. I don't want strange children. Do you want strange children? Do you want your children to be strangers to God? Strangers to His kingdom? Strangers to the kingdom of God on earth? No way. They have begotten strange children. Now shall a month devour them with their portions. And that means their possessions. Everything that they have will be gone in a short period of time. Blow ye the cornet in Gibeah, and the trumpet in Ramah, and cry aloud at Beth Aven, after thee, O Benjamin. Ephraim shall be desolate in the day of rebuke. Among the tribes of Israel I have made known that which shall surely be. The princes of Judah were like them that remove the bound. Therefore I will pour out my wrath upon them like water. Ephraim is oppressed and broken in judgment, because he willingly walked after the commandment. Therefore will I be unto Ephraim as a moth, and unto the house of Judah as rottenness. When Ephraim saw his sickness, and Yehudah saw his wound, then went Ephraim to the Assyrian, and sent to King Jareb, yet could not heal you, nor cure you of your wound. And that means they looked elsewhere, because he withdrew. Remember, the Heavenly Father withdrew. They had nowhere else to go, so they went to the heathen nations for help, and they couldn't help them. I mean, who can help you when God Almighty is against you? When He draws His sword against you for your whoredoms, for your adulteries, for your wickedness, who can help you then? There is no help. That's the time you fall on your face and you cry out for mercy. Problem is that most people, like Judas, like Esau, they'll find no place for repentance in them. Yes, they'll be sorry. Yes, they'll weep for the judgment that comes upon them. But still, you know, like Esau, though he sought bitterly with tears, he could find no repentance in him. Why did he weep? Because of his loss. He wept for the things that he lost. That's what the world does, and that's what evil men do. You know, you see them, they get convicted of crime, and then they weep and tell you how sorry they are, and they never do it again. But, they're only doing that because now they're receiving their punishment. They're sorry because they got caught. And that's what Esau is like. That's what Judas of Iscariot was like. They were sorry. They were sorry things didn't work out according to their plan, but they found no place for repentance. And how can you find place for repentance if you have not reverenced the law of God, if you have not held it up as a jewel in your sight, something to aspire to? If His word has never been a lamp to your feet, why would it be in the day of judgment? How would it suddenly come on and you go, oh, yes, I was meant to walk that way. No, you didn't. Or you would have. Or you would have at least tried with all your might. And He is merciful for those that try with all their might to walk after His law and His commandments. Yes, He has mercy on those. He helps you. He corrects you. He teaches you obedience. He loves those that love Him. and keep his commandments. Yeah, read those 10 commandments and you'll find that right smack dab in the middle. He talks about those who hate him and those who love him. There's no escaping that. Let's see, chapter 5 and verse 13. When Ephraim saw his sickness and Yehuda saw his wound, then went Ephraim to the Assyrian and sent to the king Jareb, yet could he not heal you nor cure you of your wound. For I will be to Ephraim as a lion and as a young lion to the house of Judah. I, even I, will tear and go away. I will take away and none shall rescue him. I will go and return and to make my place till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face. In their affliction, they will seek me early. Well, that's all we have time for today. You're listening to Cross the Border, and we'll pick up here next time in chapter 6 of Hosea. Until then, as always, in everything you say and you do, praise Him. Hallelujah.